And now, episode 426, part 2 of Paul's Return.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next item, and I think this is appropriate for you to take, Scott.
Okay. 2K announces Sid Meier's Civilization VI from press release.
Yeah, 2K, I didn't think from any article. This is actually a press release.
Right. That's
which
cool.
Is why, by the way, it's going to sound sort of press release-y.
And by that, we mean extremely positive.
Or selling the thing. So we're not selling it, we're just reporting what the press release says.
All right. 2K and Firaxis Games are excited to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Civilization series by announcing the Sid Meier Civilization VI, the next entry in the award-winning turn-based strategy franchise. Wow, you weren't kidding. It is currently in development for a PC. Sid Meier's Civilization VI will offer players new ways to interact with their world, expand their empires across the map, advance their culture, and compete against history's greatest leaders to build a civilization to stand the test of time. Sid Meier's Civilization VI sets another milestone in Civilization franchise, which has sold in over 34 million units worldwide.
Okay, stop right there. We're going to stop right now. Because what I'm really going to do is we're going to get to the meat of the game in a moment. So I know, Scott, you're part of the Polycast and the Turncast.
Yeah.
How excited are you for a new – have you seen the screenshots?
Yes, I've seen the screenshots, and I saw the trailer, and I saw the trailer rewind.
Well, the trailer says nothing.
The trailer says nothing, but then freaking Ed Beach and Dan – I can't remember if it's Dan – David Skirk. Shirk. Oh, yeah, Shirk.
Dennis Shirk. I know Dennis.
Dennis Shirk, yeah. They did a trailer rewind where they analyze it – or actually, like – pausing it at certain intervals and then saying, "Oh yeah, this inspires something in Civ 6," you know. So it's like, you know. So at first you're thinking it's just a trailer, but then they sit there and actually highlight the things
figures. That are that's only show us historical figures. What? Oh, there's George Washington. That inspired something in this game. It inspired George Washington.
Okay, so anyways, they show FDR Teddy Roosevelt, and they're like, "This is the There's a quote from him that pertains to the diplomacy mechanic that we want to do." And then they also showed like a couple of the world wonders, like the Forbidden Temple, Great Wall, and they said some of these are unique buildings, and some of these are world wonders, and you won't know which is obvious. So if you're showing the Great Wall and it's not obvious that it's a world wonder, then that means it's a unique building, which that makes that very different than the way the Great Wall was before. This is what I'm talking about. And they show like the Starless Night, and or not Starless Night, Starry Night by Van Gogh and Mona Lisa, mm-hmm. and they're like hinting that that's probably in the game as well. You know, so stuff like that.
And so here's the official bullet points, and we can go over these one by one. First, they say it's expansive empires, which each city spans multiple tiles. So you can build your cities to take advantage of the full terrain. However, they also say that it's still going to be one unit per tile. So they're bringing back the old Civ 4, Civ 3 city borders.
What they're doing is that you get to plop down your buildings into various tiles. You get like 12 districts. You get a science district, economics, farming, whatever, you know, and then you put in buildings there. You can also place your world wonders, or actually you have to place your world wonders.
They also say active research. To advance more quickly, use your units to actively explore, develop your environment, and discover new cultures.
Yeah, so you have to, like, if you find a quarry and you mine it, you'll increase your scientific ability in that field and area.
Oh, okay.
Boost.
Nifty.
And also with the units, it's you can combine certain units. You can combine like support units, like archers with a warrior. So you actually get like two or maybe even three units.
You get anti-tank support with infantry.
Yeah.
Warrior with settlers. So now you don't have your little settler walking around who'll get bopped instantly because he's all alone. Now you can actually have settlers.
Well, you could always have a warrior on them, but now I guess they're combined together.
Five.
Together.
Not in Civ 5. You can't have units on top of each other. Oh,
yeah, you could. You could have a warrior sitting on top of a settler.
But in this case, you'll never have to worry about them separating.
Yeah.
So similar units can also be combined to form powerful core units. So I'm wondering if that's sort of like Civilization Revolution, in which you combine three fighters, they become a super fighter or something like that?
They might do something like that, like a legion or something like that. Yeah, it'll be a better unit. That might be part of the whole tech thing as well.
This part I like is dynamic diplomacy, in which you don't immediately have advanced diplomacy. You have primitive diplomacy at first, which I guess is, I'm going to bonk you on the head with my club.
Well, yeah, you get your embassies eventually, and you get trading maps, and yeah, you build up things, build up as you get tech or just interact with the other people more, you'll get... Yeah, I guess that's the whole thing about progressive research is the more you do these things, the more advanced your knowledge in those areas is.
Right. You also have enhanced multiplayer. I've never been a big fan of multiplayer, though I know the Turncast loves multiplayer. In addition to traditional multiplayer modes, cooperate and compete with your friends in a wide variety of situations designed to be completed in a single session, which means you're not going to play for 7 hours on a Turncast.
Yeah. There'll be shorter turn games, and also you're able to mark the map now. There'll be pins down and hopefully right on it. So that's been a feature that we've missed for a very long time from Civ 4.
Well, you guys also didn't like to have co-op teams in the Turncast. Yeah. So I'm wondering, a Civ for All Players provides veteran players a way to build and tune their civilizations for the greatest chance of success, which says to me it sounds like they're going to have customized Civs like you can have in Master of Orion.
Well, you could. I remember in past Civ games, you could customize it by changing the name
of your name,
the name of the cities. But
yeah, I mean, in this change. So in Civ 5, in Civ 5 really stressed it, in which each and every Civ had their specific abilities, specific powers, specific units. It sounds like you're going to be able to have your own civilization with its own special powers and its own special units.
Right, and you develop them. It's the way you in your play style and whatever's in your surrounding area. Terrain is supposed to play a bigger part in this, I think.
Yeah. So they do have a release date for it. It's October 21st.
Woohoo! Just in time for Christmas.
Yeah. So
just in time for Halloween.
You can bet. I've contacted Dennis and asked them about doing their inevitable E3 presentation. The only thing that I don't really like the graphics. I mean, I know they're going for this sort of like doesn't look real. It looks like Tropico, actually. Now that I think about it, it looked
like Warcraft to me, but
Something like it doesn't look like Civ. It looks like a real time strategy game environment. I think
they are trying to go for a quicker rendering engine that'll give quicker games to people, or just because they've had rendering issues from Civ 4.
So Beyond the Beyond Earth was terrible. God, here's the thing. Half the time, I would have to spawn out and spawn back in on the title screen just to advance to the game.
Yeah, so they need to scale back on their graphics or something, because it's just, it's been pretty bad, you know?
Okay, so aside from me and Scott geeking out on it, how about you, Paul and TJ?
I was never really into Civ games, because I'm not smart like that.
Well, the other thing that they're bragging is there's going to be a new tutorial system designed to introduce players to the underlying concept of civilization so they can easily get started on a path to victory. So they're apparently vamping up the tutorial system as well.
Not exactly a selling point for all markets.
No, but if you're new or you say, what is the civilization they speak of?
I think what the whole gaming industry needs to kind of remember is not everybody wants to play the same game.
Yep.
Yeah.
You raised us to be beautiful and unique snowflakes. Now listen to what the hell we're telling you.
How about you, TJ?
I agree. I think it's sort of the idea of look at Dark Souls. Dark Souls is hard as hell, and it's always going to be dark. It was always going to be hard as hell, and they were never going to ramp it down for other people.
Good.
But the fact of the matter is, I think they're moving in a lot of cool directions with this. Tutorial sounds odd, but honestly, Hill plays a Civilization game for the graphics.
Yeah, here's the thing about Civilization, and see, you can play Civilization without ever micromanaging, right? But a big part of Civilization, if you really want to beat the computer on harder difficulty levels,
is the micromanage, yes.
Is the micromanagement. Like, you know, people don't know that they can have one of their units do something specific, like for food, you know, and have that unit stay there. All you do is food, never adjusts, you know, all that stuff, you know. There's a lot of micromanaging, but that's only if you're playing on the, against the computer on very high levels, you know. If you play it on, you know, Prince Down, you don't have to worry about that crap. But if, you know, the level of detail that people want to get into or might want to explore is there if they really need it, you know?
Yeah, I definitely want to keep those options open. I don't want them to dwindle away just to appeal to a mass audience that might not really want to play this game all that much.
Yeah.
Also, there's going to be the inevitable DLC packs.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that's something... Oh, God, I hate having to say this. It kills me. It's something we have to expect these days.
Yep.
You know, it's something that's not going away, folks. Although I will say, you know, Civilization, you never really needed extra civilizations. They were never there as a requirement. It was sort of like, oh, do you want to try the Koreans? Well, you can buy the Koreans. It's not necessary to the game, but, you know.
You know what? That's kind of what I liked about way LEGO Dimensions handles their figure packs, is that it's downloadable content for retail in a way that you don't feel like you're being cheated because, you know, you're spending $7 on a figure, but the amount of content that you're getting for your game.
Yeah, it's like, do you want.
Was just, so much.
You want Doc Emmett Brown? Well. Here he is, if you want him.
And he also comes with a whole level, you know, based on the movie that he's in. And he comes with a whole sandbox world.
And
he can undo challenges that you have existing.
That does sound pretty cool.
Your other levels. You know.
Paul, which figurines do you have from LEGO Dimensions?
You have another hour?
Do you have Scooby-Doo? Do you have...
I have Scooby-Doo. I have The Simpsons. I have a guy from Ninjago. I have Wonder Woman... The Wicked Witch, Superman, Aquaman, God, what else do I have? I have Gamer Kid. I have just about everything.
Okay. So
I have all five level packs.
You know, I'm wondering, what is the area above your console like with all these figurines?
I had to go and get a craft container to hold all my LEGO Dimensions.
Really?
Yeah, like a bead sorting tray.
Oh, I thought you might have done it like tchotchkes.
I don't have that much room.
Oh, okay. Because if you had the space, would you do it like tchotchkes, like decoration, like little hummels above your...
Maybe, but the whole point is that like you're constantly maneuvering them around on the platform, so you need to have them all within easy reach.
Gotcha.
Because you never know what power you need.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I really didn't like the trailer. The trailer was truly a teaser trailer. It was, like, telling you nothing except, hey, Civilization VI is coming. And it wasn't – you know what? They didn't use Baba Yet. And Baba Yet would have got – or yeah, Baba Yet 2, I guess. Baba Yet 2 would have gotten me pumped for it. Really pumped.
I think they like to do a different theme for each Civilization
game. Baba Yaga
game.
Would have gotten me pumped for it.
Anyway.
I'll tell you what, though. I wouldn't worry about the fact that we didn't get much out of this first teaser trailer because look at XCOM. Yeah. Everybody they know their fan base, and they will surely release a ton of information as it gets closer and closer.
Well, E3 is next week, and they do helpfully mention that they have a booth in the South Hall at 1601 if you want to visit it.
That'll probably be where they'll release information or maybe show more stuff.
Yes, sir. I'll be going first on in E3.
Wait, cool? E3 is next week?
No, it's in 4 weeks. Come on. I'm talking about they do helpfully mention that it's going to be at 1601 in the South Hall at E3, and that's basically where I'm going to be going first.
Cool.
Unless, you know, I also spoke to Bethesda. They're allowing me to their pre-briefing, and Microsoft's going to have me at their pre-briefing. I haven't heard from EA. I don't even know if the EA is going to have a pre-briefing.
Even I thought EA wasn't going to be there.
No, EA's going to – okay, here's the thing. EA's going to have their stuff – they're going to – EA's going to be off the show floor, but they're going to be there. There's going to be specific games by E3 on the floor, specific games, not an E3 floor, you know, because Paul knows this. At EA, at E3, EA has this humongous, almost arena-like section, you know, which is almost a metric fuckton. Yeah, and they have the and they had these little things in which you had, you know, like me and Paul went to The Sims 4, and you know you have this little, you know, you have to wait on the line.
I'm telling you, everybody's cutting down. I'm afraid for our economy.
For E3, no, but see the thing is, the problem with E3 is that Gamescom does it better, and no one is going to be off the floor at Gamescom, partly because one day of Gamescom is for the public. One day. And the rest is for press. But that one day is hella popular. And I think what's going on is that E3 better realize that in order for people to care about E3, there has to be a public day for people to get excited, to get hands-on time. Because here's the thing. It used to be E3 was important because all you had was magazines. And then it was small internet sites, but who cared? Now everything is online, and all the information comes immediately, you know? And they don't need E3 because they already have the previews before they get it, you know? Everything is immediate. When they only had magazines, it wasn't like that. So in order for people to get excited about E3 again, they have to have that one day which just let the fans in, you know? Because EA doesn't care about showing games to journalists that much at E3 because they can instantly connect with fans. Now, if they have fans coming in to directly play their games and sell directly to the fans what they're going to be offering in the fall, then it's worthwhile for EA. Then EA is going to say, hey, you know what? We should be here because people were going to be trying our stuff and they're going to play it and they're going to say, wow, and they're going to tell their friends who didn't go to E3.
Mm-hmm.
No? But if all
they have to do a better job of courting their influencers all around.
Yeah, I mean, if all they're doing is press, it's no longer just magazines, which had to have a 2 month or 1 month lead, you know, on these stories.
Right.
You know, now they.
Well, that was that even affects the timing of it, so that it was that the.
Yeah, because
the magazines could have enough time to put their story together
for the
in time for Christmas.
Yeah, for the September issue, which is released in. I'm sorry, the October issue, which was released in September, which is just before the heavy rush for games come out. And the thing is that if you want press releases from EA, you don't even need to be a press member to read the EA press releases. When I went to look at the new what was it? I think – not Bejeweled Stars, but there was a new game that was just announced for EA, big game. I said, oh, well, why would I need to go to E3 because they have it right there on their site. You know, they already have direct connection with the fans. You know, they don't care about E3 is for two people. One, it's for industry people who either you're trying to get a job or they're trying to buy things or they're distributors who are going to be distributing the games and they need to see what it's like. And the press. And the press isn't really that important anymore at E3. Which is why press gets treated more like shit these days because they don't need the press. You know, if there's a one day of E3 in which all the public can come in, then the publishers have a reason to be there. You know, they have a reason to be there. They have people that they're actually going to be wanting to buy their stuff. And by the way, the other thing is these codes that they give – you've seen these, Paul. They give out codes for betas and all that stuff. What is the press going to do with that? They're going to give it to the fans. Well, why not give it to the fans directly? You know, they talk about, oh, come to our booth at 1601 South Hall. You know, okay. Why are you telling the fans this? Unless if the fans can't go, why would they care if it's at E3?
Yeah, I don't know. There's definitely some problems there.
Wait, why do I want to go to E3 again?
So you can see what's going to be on sale for Christmas.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. It is worth going to E3 because the 1 year when they introduced Skylanders, they also introduced Destiny and the new and the other new things. And I'm going to tell you something. It was an experience. Paul, were you there when they showed off? And what happens is on Activision's floor, they had what to introduce every like 30 minutes to introduce these Skylanders. These gigantic figures would come with smoke and flashing lights, and you'd see Spyro and the other characters just staring down at you. It was like a holy experience, you know. And then they would do the Destiny ad, which was fantastic too. So it's an experience. The problem is that for a lot of people, it's like, okay. Even if it's exciting, it's like, okay. But people who can't normally go to see it are like, wow, you know. Look at PAX East. I mean, PAX East, companies are going to go to PAX East because that's where the fans are.
Yeah.
You know? So there's that diatribe Wow, that was a long diatribe.
That was a long diatribe.
So we're going to move to the last item.
And the rest of us were making dinner.
Yeah, you, Paul. The last item.
Nintendo NX is, quote, neither a successor to the Wii U nor to the 3DS. And this comes to us from VG247. The Nintendo NX is launching in March of 2017 with assurances of solid software launch lineup and rumors that the company is abandoning optical discs for cartridges.
Which is bullshit, but we'll move on.
rumors. They're unsubstantiated. The mystery of exactly what we can expect from the new console has deepened even more with the translation of an interview with Nintendo president Satsumi Kimishima.
Kimishina.
That's not an M, that's an H. Kimishia. Shima.
Okay. It's not my fault that VG247 screwed up his name. So,
in an interview with the Ashi Sumish.
Don't worry about that. It's just with a Japanese.
In an interview translated on NeoGAF, during which the possibility of another foray into film was discussed, Kimishima answered a number of questions about the upcoming NX. Quote, "It's something very new. The hardware, the software lineup, all of it is something I'd like to play for the first time myself," he began. When asked about the impact of the new console would have on the Wii U sales, Kimishima replied, "When the NX is released, the Wii U business will slow. However, the NX is neither the successor to the Wii U nor to the 3DS. It is a new way of playing games, which I think will have a larger impact than the Wii U, but I don't feel it's a pure replacement for the Wii U." This echoes the late Shitira Iwata, who stressed that, "Nintendo, we're always thinking about how we want to surprise players, as well as our desire to change each person's video game life. In the past few years, the idea of what encompasses a gaming platform gradually changes," he said. "If you only expand upon existing hardware, it's dull."
Okay.
Nintendo VR, huh?
Yeah, I was about to say, we're bringing back the Virtual Boy. Hooray.
No, not the Virtual Boy.
I don't know. It's all something.
New games.
So, Paul, you said there was no way it was going to come out in 2017. Hmm. Actually, it was supposed to come out.
I thought I said there was no way it's coming out in 2016, but whatever.
Well, it was, but, you know, they delayed it. So
I said that there was no way it was coming out this year.
But you said 2018 at the very earliest. That's, I remember. I have it on tape.
You're a liar.
Liar! Anyway, so, Paul, what do you think they're talking about here if it's not going to be a successor to the Wii U or the 3DS? Either full of shit or they're coming out with maybe a hybrid of some sort?
I don't know. It might be, maybe it's a Nintendo mobile phone.
Well, the thing is that we know for a fact that the new Zelda game is going to be on the Wii U and the NX.
Right.
So
I mean, I might as well just wait for the NX.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But then it has to be something that can be played on both things, regardless of whether they are what they are.
Either digital or CD.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be digital because Nintendo still hasn't been a big fan of the internets.
Who is a big fan of the internets, really?
Well, I mean, Microsoft and Sony have pretty much integrated the digital cycle with it.
That's not entirely true. The Nintendo Marketplace is a pretty... You can get most of the games that are coming out now.
Yeah, but if you delete it, you have to pay for it again. Remember?
Is that true? Oh my God, I didn't. No, that's not true. Because I have at least it's not true on the 3DS because I have several games that I've like cycled out of my hard drive that I've gone back to now and then. Like I had Pokemon Y, as a digital copy.
I don't know, maybe it's changed, but before you either saved it on an SD card or you had to buy it again.
Yeah, I deleted it off my SD card, and then I went back to – you just go and track down the item again, and you can re-download it.
I don't know. I mean, if it's going to be another freaking peripheral – I think people are tired of peripherals. I mean, Nintendo was smart to do the tablet controller. You know, that was –
I completely agree.
But I don't know what else that they could do. You know, I mean, with the tablet controller, you could even do augmented reality because it has a
– ooh. Right. Maybe it has a built-in projector, so you no longer need a television.
That'd be nice.
Really need that.
It just shoots the game up on your ceiling.
No, because you already have it on your screen. What are you talking about? I mean, all you really need, and I know Paul's favorite feature is that he can play the game without having while the TV is on something else.
So yep. It's an interrupt. Favorite feature.
Yep.
I don't know. Given the current trends of the year and the fact that everybody is getting on board with it in some way, I wouldn't put it past Nintendo that this might be their foray into VR.
They already had AR. I mean, that's what the 3DS did. The 3DS was capable of augmented reality. I don't know how much they utilized it. Paul, did they make many augmented reality games for the 3DS?
Not really.
No, because I know they had the one or two games and they said, we're not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing though. If it doesn't catch immediately, these days it seems that the support for it at the top level, for any company, just kind of dwindles, and then you don't get any more of that product.
Right. So here's the question for you, Paul. Are you interested in the NX?
Of course I am. It's a Nintendo product. Of course I'm interested.
Well, so is Zelda, but you're.
Of course. Well, yeah. That means I'm still going to buy it. I'm still going to buy Zelda.
So
I might not finish it the way I didn't finish the last one.
So the only thing that remains to be seen about the NX is price.
Yep.
And you know we've already seen that price is a major determination. It's the determining factor of how well a console gets sold. Period. End of story. I mean that's the way it is. Unless the software is really, really, really bad, which seldom is, you know, the original Xbox had only one really good game and a port of Tony Hawk. And they had Halo, and everything else was just either a port or crap, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to not yet have heard the words launch window, because I called bullshit on that first.
And you were right.
Thank you.
It was completely full of shit.
Launch window. We mean our first 6 months. No.
Yeah.
Launch means week of. And that's generous.
Kid Icarus had a launch window of a year.
Launch is day.
Kid Icarus is a quote unquote launch title that came out a year after the console was released.
Oh, I could spit in nails. I'm so annoyed at marketing people.
It's delayed. I mean, you know, no one's going to kill you if you say this game is delayed because it isn't working yet. You know, I know one of Paul's favorite things is, you know, a good game is delayed, a bad game is bad forever, or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, whatchamacallit? A good game is late until the day it comes out. A bad game is bad forever.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to move on to listener feedback, and I have no idea because from L4D, which is Left 4 Dead, I like what Jonah said in your latest – and this is from episode 423 because this came out a day after we recorded our podcast, so – I like what Jonah said in your latest podcast regarding cannabis. I believe that not getting it after being on it for a while is what causes depression and so forth because of the neuroendocrine system relying on it, but it should subside after normal functioning of the endocrine system returns, depending on the user. Also, paranoia may stem from stigma attached to it. Who knows how it would have been if it were treated like coffee/caffeine. I have no idea when I was talking about pot in that podcast.
I don't remember that at all.
Maybe this reader is toking a few.
And I'm just amazed.
Jonah, we all know you're a major pothead anyway, so.
I'm just absolutely amazed that a co-op shooter game could formulate such an opinion on weed.
I don't know. The only pot
I'm interested. I'm interested what Left 4 Dead thinks about politics.
Oh, yeah.
is this game reaching a sentient intelligence? Is it Skynet?
You see how
if games are reaching sentient intelligence, we have bigger problems.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hawk is worried about. He's worried about us not caring about the robots taking over them. I'm dead serious about this. Stephen Hawking is worried about artificial intelligence because if it becomes self-aware, we'll be in trouble, he thinks. He also doesn't want us contacting any aliens because he says they'll automatically conquer us, and they'll be like, we'll be the Native Americans to their Spaniards.
I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
No, insect overlords. That was from the Simpsons episode.
Have you heard that Google is working on putting on an app they're hoping will be able to log your keystrokes in order to properly market to you?
There was also a
Skynet open beta.
No, Google did had an artificial intelligence on Twitter. I think it was Google. And it learned to be extremely racist, homophobic, and sexist because of the posts, because of the conversation it was having with people on Twitter, which wasn't exactly well reflective of people on Twitter. It started espousing Nazi ideals. I kid you not. Look it up.
Yeah, I saw that story.
Because it was learning like a child from people on the Twitter, which is basically don't let Twitter raise your children.
Oh, God.
I blame the parents.
I agree.
See, now look how much more alive we are with four people.
This is fun.
Yeah, this is very.
I think it's you're more alive with me.
That's
yeah.
That's true. So here's the thing, Paul. Did you finish watching Doctor Who the season?
I have not gotten more episodes from Netflix.
Really? That's interesting.
Really.
That's Paul.
I'm telling you.
It was booze.
I have not gotten.
That's too bad. Because we still want to do the Doctor Who podcast. You know?
I understand.
How do you feel about Steve Moffat stepping down?
To me, I will watch it.
Go ahead. Say it again. I don't think Scott, Paul heard.
Paul, how do you feel about Steve Moffat stepping down?
I never really have good feelings when... Mm. Something when someone in charge of something that I like leaves. I know that it didn't do very well for My Little Pony when what's her name left the creative control after the first 18 months or so.
Was that Lauren Faust?
Thank you, Lauren Faust. I couldn't think of her name.
Happened with The Office when I forgot who was the guy's name, but when he stepped down and the other guy stepped up, the show became a lot more depressing. Well,
that usually happens, how do you pronounce his name? Prefolsky? Left, Right, and Stimpy, it became terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There is something we can discuss. Maybe not now, but the terrible, awful, offensive to me, disgusting reboot of Powerpuff Girls.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, Paul, this is going to piss you off big time. They got rid of Sarah Bellum because she was, quote unquote, inappropriate.
I mean, I've never seen the original show, so.
Oh, okay. Sarah Bellum was the mayor's assistant. She was extremely intelligent, but you never saw her head. All you saw was her hair, and she had an hourglass figure, you know. So she was sexy, but she was also the brains behind the mayor, and she was also, you know, she was also the girl's best friend. So they got rid of her because she was quote unquote inappropriate. And I'm wondering, what do you mean by inappropriate? Because she's an independent, intelligent woman. And then they removed the breasts from Miss Keen. So now she looks like one of those clowns that you punch. And I'm thinking, oh, I get it. Breasts. Breasts are inappropriate. Right. So why don't you, the female executives of the show, why don't you have a double mastectomy and so that you can back your words? You know, they weren't exploitative. They were female. They were visibly female.
I would like to distance myself from the double mastectomy comment.
I'm just saying, if breasts are that offensive to kids who see them on their mothers every day, this was not even Janet Jackson, okay? Other things, they were twerking. They were also still six-year-old girls, now in junior high school, with characters who look like they're from your generic Nicktoons. You know, this art style is completely wrong. They gave them Green Lantern powers for whatever reason. Even Professor Utonium doesn't look like Professor Utonium. I'm just saying, everything is wrong with the show.
It's – okay. For one thing – I do not like the idea that, like, okay, they're using urban and internet humor in the show, and that's cute and all, except for the part that they're using the worst parts of it. The worst parts.
Internet memes.
Yeah. And here's an interesting thing, though. Lauren Faust left creative directorship of My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Craig McCracken.
For Powerpuff Girls, yeah.
Created Powerpuff Girls, not on the 2016 season, married to Lauren Faust, the rabbit hole.
Okay.
But the thing is also they replaced the voices of the girls, and while that inherently isn't bad, they kept everybody else. So why are you changing the girls' voices, but you're not, you know, I mean, what's wrong with Tara Strong? I mean, and also
– because they can't afford her.
No, they could afford her. She's not expensive. I mean, the other characters they picked, and they were, and what's it called? You know, the one – oh, yeah. And there's – you seldom ever hear the narrator who's done the same voice as the king as the mayor, by the way, because the girls don't do a save the day. They turn it into Simpsons episodes. Nothing happens.
So wait, they're not superheroes anymore?
They're basically just
they have superpowers, and they have some, but they don't save the day. They just learn
a life lesson. Horrible. They're basically just redoing My Little Pony with characters that never use their superpowers.
Well, yeah.
Okay, I get it. It's terrible.
I did learn something about My Little Pony, by the way, Paul.
What's that?
An episode I watched because there was nothing else on, and apparently, and you probably already know this, you're going to say, oh, yeah, what are you, stupid? Of course. Apparently, when they lose their charms or whatever their tattoos are, they lose their abilities. And there was this episode in which they sacrificed all of their abilities to help these others. And they – what's it called? And they convinced the others that they were – you know this episode, Paul, I'm pretty sure.
Of course I do.
So why don't you explain it? Because I'm having trouble describing what the episode is. But I'm just saying, you know, and even Applejack couldn't even do her folksy talk because she didn't have her tattoo. It's like I can't even do a proper accent or thing anymore because I don't have it.
Well, I think the episode that you're talking about is the main characters end up in a town where everybody has the same cutie mark.
Yeah, oh, they're right, cutie marks. Okay.
Right, where everyone – or the characters all have the same cutie marks.
Right.
And it's really this whole episode about how, you know, striving to fit in as a community to these people was more important than, like, discovering their true talents and everybody being able to stand out. So it was this whole thing is like, nobody is special. We're all the same. And that meant everybody was, like, terrible at their job.
By the way, the villain in that piece, was she the one who later reforms Twilight Spark? No, Twilight –
Sunset Shimmer? No.
No. It was sort of like Twilight Sparkle, but not – anyways, I think this is – it's an early season, is it? Because I think that character, according to you, becomes – you know, is no longer a villainess after one of the seasons, and she reforms. But she still has to gain everybody's trust.
I think you're confusing whoever the villain of that episode was with Princess Luna.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Twilight Midnight or something? I don't know. It was a purple pony. Like I said, I'm not a brony, so I don't know all the stuff. I mean, you know what? Maybe I will watch season – is it still on Netflix?
Yes, it is still on Netflix.
Okay, so maybe I'll watch a season, and then I'll discuss it for you for a special episode, and whoever else wants to watch My Little Pony, so it'll be sort of like a non-brony and brony conversation about a season.
You have to watch an entire season. No more of these episodes about one.
Hey, I really like that Halloween episode. I'm sorry, Scary Night episode.
Nightmare Night. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. On the new Powerpuff Girls, I have a bunch of friends who are animators online, and they post some of
the in-betweens. The thing is that they went strictly to digital instead of cel animation. So one of the things that's not an error, but when they fly, it's almost like in slow motion, because in the first three seasons, when they put it, would, you know, they would just dart off the screen. Now it's like, And in the new thing, there's blocks in their way where the computer matted over it, so you have pieces missing from characters.
Yeah. Wow. Even on small in-between frames, like where they're just turning their heads, it looks freaking bizarre. Like, yeah, just things in the wrong place.
That sounds really sloppy.
Eyes that don't follow properly.
Now, I'm giving you a link to a video which actually goes through everything wrong with it. So you can get – even people who are neophytes who don't know the series. And Paul, I'm surprised you haven't watched Powerpuff Girls. It's really a good show.
Before my time.
It's not before your time.
It was before my time.
Okay, here's the link. So after the show, you can check it out and, you know, you can say whatever. But yeah, this is what happens when executives do a show instead of a creative person. You know, it's not, I don't care if it's someone different, like if instead of Craig McCracken, Paul Dini came on and decided to do it his way. Fine. You know, he has a vision. He knows what he wants to do. But this is sort of like a mishmash. I know everybody's seen Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie. This is what Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie on the Powerpuff Girls is, except they're not a new character, just a new creative team that doesn't know anything about telling a story.
Reboots so far have been pretty horrible. Rebooted Sailor Moon for some reason.
See what they're doing with Samurai Jack.
And yeah,
the X-Files.
Don't
the X-Files
even get me started on the Cartoon Network Thundercats.
Oh, I don't even. I didn't even know they brought back Thundercats.
Yep, they had a reboot too.
Okay. Well,
even outside of cartoons, did you guys are any of you fans with the X-Files?
I heard it was terrible.
See, it is pretty bad.
Go ahead.
Like they have a couple episodes that are pretty good, and it feels like it's going to be all right, and then it just fucking rolls downhill like gas barrel.
This
into a gas station.
Like a lot of my Misties, I'm not too excited about the MST3K reboot. For one thing, Mike Nelson is not the lead writer, and it wasn't until Mike Nelson was lead writer that it actually got good in season two. And the fact that Joel is not going to be the guy, and it's going to be some guy named Jonah Ray from Nerdist. And then they have Patton Oswalt and Felicia Day as Deep 13. And I'm thinking, you know what was great about MST3K? They were nobodies. I don't care about Patton Oswalt and Felicia Day. Felicia Day is going to be the new Dr. Forrester, and Patton Oswalt is going to be the new TV's Frank. Oh, he's not going to be called TV's Frank. Even though, you know, Patton Oswalt does sound a little like TV's Frank. It's not going to work. You know, you don't have the writing team. And the thing is, why would I want to watch this MST3K when I have Mike, Kevin, and Bill doing riff tracks? I don't need another MST3K. I'm fine with them. You know?
It's almost like it takes actual good ideas and rather than just rehashing the old one.
You know, I remember something that Red Letter Media said, and we're probably going to close on this because we're getting towards the two-hour mark here.
I think we steamrollered past the two-hour mark.
No, we're at 150 right now. And what they said really makes a lot of sense. You know what? Stop trying to remake good things. Remake bad things and make them good.
That's a good idea.
There's a thought.
Yeah.
I mean, why remake Gremlins when you can remake a piece of crap film and make it better?
That sounds like a great idea right there.
You know, as a matter of fact, Quentin Tarantino spent his entire film career making bad 70s exploitation films popular.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? I mean, if you're going to steal someone's idea, take a bad idea and make it.
Ooh, yeah, but then you know what? Then you end up with Transformers, the movie.
Actually, that's sort of what they did with
the recent movie. The recent
Yeah,
movie.
You're saying about the Michael Bay movies because a lot of people say like
Inside Out was a lot like Osmosis Jones, where you had the head and everything, and nostalgic critic made that illusion between the two.
But I mean, I think Osmosis Jones and Inside Out is one is physical,
yeah,
and the other one is mental.
Mm-hmm. So basically, Inside Out is Herman's head.
Yeah, that's
which was which was a fantastically funny show.
What?
Which was a fantastically funny show.
Yes, Inside Out was basically Herman's head.
Yeah, and you know what, Paul? Scott keeps on getting angry whenever I say that Happiness was the villain of Inside Out. or Joy or whatever her first
name. I just disagree with you on that, but that's fine. You have your opinion. It's okay to be wrong.
Yeah, that's what I tell them all the time. I'm glad the show's in good hands.
I will say this, like, on the note of take a bad thing and make it good, you might have your own opinions on this, but the Warriors movie, that was...
Warriors, come out and play!
That was a very...
The Phantom Axis, so...
That was the spitting epitome of B-movie. And you know what they did with it?
Did it in a video game.
They took it and turned it into one of the best video games ever.
You know, I have still not played that game.
It is. Don't play the one that's on Xbox Live. It's awful. But if you can find a copy of the original, either PS2 or Xbox version.
Okay, I saw my Xbox.
It is one of the best brawlers ever. Okay. Ever. Bar none.
Things about The Godfather. But then again, my friend Carlos Pro was the voice actor on it. So, Paul. It was great to have you back on.
Oh, thanks. I'm sorry it was such bad news that brought me back.
Well,
but yeah, Disney leaving the world of video games altogether was kind of not something I could let pass.
I'm willing to bet you 2 years from now they're going to start another Disney Interactive because they're going to find people who know what the hell they're doing.
Probably.
You know?
Maybe. Maybe 5 years. Maybe 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, they're farming out their IPs to other people now, so we'll see.
You know what? It's
what? Paul?
I don't know.
He lost Paul. Paul died.
No, don't say that.
Paul died in mid sentence.
Mid thought.
Uh-oh. Call dropped.
And he's back again. I hope your record. I hope my thing is keeping this going.
If it's not, I have it. I'm still recording.
I've been recording as well.
Yeah, Paul keeps on hopping in and out.
Uh-oh.
Let me actually add him physically. So, yeah. Well, assuming we can't get Paul back. you know what? I have to put up the thing. He can't get on.
We need his sign-off.
Yeah, I have to do this. No, I what are you talking about? I do the sign-off.
By bonds. What? Good advice.
Yeah. Well, first things first, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our history, gaming history articles. We enjoy feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at I screwed that up too. See, he's popping in and out online and offline. That's distracting. Look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history article. If you enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast, the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum. Actually, I shouldn't say that anymore because the forums are closed. Leave your comments to fans at GamingPodcast.net. No, don't do that either. Just go to GamingPodcast.net and post in the comments in the comments portion. That'll be better. You know what happens is that if Paul was on his cell phone, sometimes he gets cut off when he gets a phone call.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So I am at Jonah Falcon. TJ is at Johnny Chugs. And Scott is at Alpha Shard. And you know what? Oh, yeah. And Paul is at Stager Monkey. So... Yeah, so yeah, we liked having Paul until he got eaten by Shia Lude.
Yeah, it was good to have him back.
Dun, dun, dun. We have Worm Sign! Oh, boy. So anyways, we will see you next week. Hopefully we'll see Paul in the near future as well.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Take care.
Bye, Bonds. I know that's Paul's line, but I have to say it for him.
It is good advice.
Yeah, I forgot that part. So yeah, we did it together. So yeah, we will log off on that note, and we will see you next week.
All right.
And this is off. Click. Exit. Poor Paul.
Yeah, that sucks.
Right in the middle of a cool state.
I know.
Yeah. But we can. What's it called? You can always message him and say that we did his line for him.
You need to do a short recording and put it on the end of this podcast when you edit it, and just put what was Paul's thought? Will we ever find out? Check in next week.
Yeah. There you go.
Let's see if you know what? Let me see if I add people. Not on this call is Paul. Yeah, we know. Add to call. Let's see what happens. Nee. Nee, 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 nee. Does it dial? Dial tone. Anyways, check out that link for those.
It said you were unavailable.
Oh, yeah, it said
now
you were
going back.
You know, I stopped recording, but I think. You know what? No, let's start recording again.
No, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
But we
I'm
did your line
right
for
now.
You. We did your line for you.
Yes, I heard for like 2 seconds. It was the most lackluster delivery of my line I've ever heard. I'm almost insulted.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll forgive you this time.
Wait a minute. Stop that.
Stop forgiving people? Okay.
No, I'm talking to... So, like I was telling them, check out the link that I added so you can get an idea of what we're talking about. What me and TJ were talking about Powerpuff Girls. And Paul, I sincerely hope you get to watch Powerpuff Girls at some point because it's really clever and fun, you know. Here's a little bit of a confession though, TJ. I never saw Whoop Ass Girls.
I don't like clever and fun.
That's why you watch My Little Pony.
I will shit down your throat.
Damn. Paul will never be back. So, Scott or DJ, just send me your file. I'll just clip off the end of that part of what I was just talking about because I know you're still recording, and I'll add all this to the end of it.
Okay.
So, Paul, like we said, while we were trying to find you, hopefully we'll see you again soon. Not necessarily next week, but in the near future.
Possibly soon, maybe.
Yeah. Or actually, you could.
You know, to a Time Lord, time is relatively timely, wimey, wibbly wobbly. It's not a linear cause of, you know.
Yeah, and also you get a see. The thing is that I'm surprised that they do not have the Doctor Who episodes on Netflix. Are you sure about this?
It would have told me.
Yeah, wow. They took Doctor Who off of all that.
Oh, okay. Is it on Hulu or something?
No, they took it off of that as well.
Wow. So are you telling me that you're actually going to have to wait for reruns on Sci-Fi or something?
I guess.
I can't afford cable, man.
Oh, that sucks.
I think they want you to... I don't know what they're doing. It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe I'll buy Paul the DVD.
Maybe that's what they want. Go buy the DVDs.
Well, Paul can't buy the DVDs.
Oh, those things are expensive. That's a lot of seasons.
You know, they're going to buy them the entire run. It's like, here, Paul, you know, let's discuss the 1962 first season. Was it 1962?
I actually had the Martha Jones season. I sold it on eBay.
Oh.
So I was like, why do I have this one season?
Well, you should have ripped it at first.
You know what? I bet you I was watching it with Michael, and that was the point that we got up to on Netflix, and it was like, ah, I don't have it. Quick, let's run out and buy it.
Oh, dear. So, anyways, yeah. Like I said, Paul, hope to see you again on the podcast soon because, you know, although we can't keep on having two-hour episodes.
Whenever earth-shaking news happens, I'll be back.
Okay. Now, say your sign-off, Paul, so we can end this thing.
I think that might be my new one.
What?
I think that might be my new sign-off.
Say it again.
Whenever there's earth-shaking news, I'll be back.
There you go.
Okay, thank you, Arnold. Anyways.
That was Barbara Walters.
I'll be back. Well, you know, she was sort of muscular.
I thought you were going to say, I'll be there, but that's good.
Whenever there's earth-changing news, I'll be here.
There you go. Okay, well, we will see you next week.
All
right. Bye-bye. And bye-bye. I'm not going to say it. That's Paul's line. Okay, so
I've retired that line. I have a new one.
Whoever's recording this, just send me the copy so I can snip off the end of whatever you're doing.
All right,
and append it to the thing. This is going to be a long. I can't keep. Like I said, well,
make it two episodes.
No, I don't do part one, part two. Come on.
No, you don't have to do part one, part two. Just like organize it. I don't know. Never mind. It's fine.
No. Although I could do a clip. We never. If that was the case, at the 1 hour mark, I should have said, and now the cliffhanger. Uh-huh.
You could clip
come
out
back
the,
next week for the news.
You could clip out the Powerpuff Girls stuff and add that onto the tangent episode you've been talking about.
That's true. That would work.
See, the problem is that if I was going to do that, I would have done the Disney Infinity thing as the second item.
So without that, me, there aren't enough cool tangents.
No, we could have the cliffhanger of Infinity 4.0. What does Paul think? Dun dun dun. How follows next week? See how Paul reacts to the axing of one of his favorite Toys to Life series.
I have to say though, I do prefer Lego Dimensions to Infinity.
As soon as I saw that story, I was like, "Poor Paul."
That's the thing. You know what? When I already what's it called? Scott contacted me on Skype and said, "You know, Paul's going to be devastated about this."
Oh, I was. I took to my bed. I took to my bed.
No, I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, Paul's stronger than that.
Paul, to my bed.
Paul can withstand that sort of bad news, but apparently
if they were scrapping Infinity to come up with something better, then I would have been fine. But they're getting out of video games altogether. I will never again be a game designer with Disney because they're getting out of the industry.
Just so you know, Paul did actually work for Disney at a point.
Mm-hmm.
So
I remember it was Tinkerbell's Enchanted Forest.
Pixie Hollow.
It was Pixie Hollow.
Pixie Hollow. That's
and,
what it was.
And an unannounced project that would have saved us all of this misery, but whatever.
Yeah, Paul's not bitter, folks.
But they put their money on Infinity, so.
And then whatever. Pulled out. That sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, if you're not going to have it, if you're not going to have the baby, just pull out.
You know what, though? It's fine, though, because all of the awesome people that worked for Disney now get to go do other things like Bejeweled Stars.
That's the other thing. When it was announced that Disney was closing down, I know that I forgot which company. I think it was Activision. Said, "Hey guys, we're having an open house here, so everybody who's being laid off by Disney, come over here, and we're gonna have an open house." And I'm pretty sure other publishers did that too.
Do you realize they're missing out on a gold mine if they had made every princess have their own video game? I just realized that if they
did every sequel, so why not?
What they should have done was instead of making 9 Star Wars playsets, if they had one princess playset and release all the princesses, one hero playset, release all the heroes.
Mm. Yeah.
But they can't gouge you that way.
Yeah, the project was greenlit by somebody who only understood how to sell toys and not how to make video games.
Yeah, well, if you're going to sell toys, then make them toys, you know, that they're not going to...
Oh, yeah, they didn't move.
Let them do stuff other than, you know, so that
I can't because I'll be talking about this for another hour.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll come back next week. We'll discuss this again.
We'll discuss Toys to Life in general.
That's actually a good idea so we can discuss Skylanders, Lego Dimensions, Disney Infinity, and we can compare and contrast, and everybody can research each of them. You know,
yeah, I think I'll look into Lego's Dimensions.
Lego Dimensions, you know, I will say this. When I see them at that game.
Dimensions is amazeball.
When I go to Best Buy, I see those things and I say, you know, I'd like to do Doc Brown. You know, I would like to do Scooby-Doo.
Doctor Who. Love Doctor Who.
Yeah. See, here's the big thing about the Toys to Life category is that it taps into my actual favorite game, which is get shit for free. Get the best price on stuff. That's my favorite game because you go to Walmart and you're like, look, Target's got them on sale.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's a question for you, Paul, that I should have asked. Will you be getting the Infinity characters that are coming out? Like,
no, I'm actually really tempted to just walk into Target and return all of my figures.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm that angry over it.
So no love for Finding Dory, huh?
Nope.
Are you going to see the movie? Are you going to see the movie?
I might see the movie when it comes out on Netflix.
Oh, it's coming out in August. Wow, you're really angry at Disney now, huh?
See, here's the thing. They asked me to go on this journey with them where I made a substantial monetary investment in this product.
Right.
And then they canceled it after 3 years.
Like I said, you know, just release the Disney Infinity and just release the expansion packs. Those enough should be able to get you sales. The software isn't going to get you the sales. You know, the expansions are going to get you the sales. So just have just Disney Infinity.
All they had to do was keep making play sets. all they had to do was
keep that's all you have to do. And if you want, here's what Lego does sometimes. So they'll make these small play sets, not for dimensions. I'm talking about in general Lego, right? They make the small vehicles, and then they have these huge play sets, you know, which cost much more, you know, like the entire Millennium Falcon or something like that, you know. The small places, the big play sets. The same thing
with
Skyline.
Like, you know what? If they like, it was really nice that they did all five characters from Inside Out. You didn't need to sell them individually. You should have had all five characters and the
and the
playset on sale as one piece.
Or for kids, you know, what you do is you have the one that has them all and then the individual ones in case the kids can only afford $3 for a single figurine.
That's the thing, though. They were $15 each. It's far too expensive.
No.
Far too expensive.
See, the thing is that you want kids to be able to be interested in those places. So, you know, a dollar over, you know, like $5 maybe for a character plus you know, whatever stuff is on their whatever, the, you know, the software that's in there.
Right. I think $5 to $7 a figure was the hit point, and they missed it.
And then the parents could buy them a set for their birthday, and I was like, oh, look, we got you the entire Inside Out.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm going to be sick.
Okay. Everybody, this is it. So now you can stop recording. We do not want to record Paul being sick.
All right. Good night, guys.
Bye.
Good night, guys.
Later.